Good morning, and good morning to listeners of Miraya FM.
So, first of all, let me just go straight to the IGAD chairman visit. What is your expectation from this visit? He comes in as IGAD, but also as Sudan. What is your expectation? What do you think he's exactly here for?
Of course, as you have put it right, everybody is concerned about the slow implementation of the peace agreement in South Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
The people of South Sudan are concerned, the region, the international community. Now we are going toward the end of the interim period, and yet there are key provisions of the agreement which are not implemented. This is, of course, is a concern to Mr. Or Dr. Abdullah Hamadok, not only as a Prime Minister of Sudan, but also as a chairperson of IGAD, because the instability in South Sudan will affect directly the region and Sudan in particular.
Mm-hmm.
So one of these issues is the issue of the Magenis, the dispute in SPLM-IO between the mainstream IO led by Dr. Riek Machar and the other group led by Simon Garwijdwal and Johnson Ulong. This dispute is not good, not only for IO, but it's not good for the people of South Sudan and for the implementation of the peace agreement, because there is no way you can implement the peace agreement if the parties to the agreement are fighting themselves, as this as the incident that we saw in Magenis. This is not good. It's not good for all of us, and it's not good for region. So I think Abdullah Hamadok is coming, try to look for a peaceful solution to the dispute among SPLM-IO, and also to push for implementation of the key provision of the agreement, as, for example, the issue of the security arrangement.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. And you know, ideally, by now, this peace agreement should have already, you know, been completed, and we should be in, like, the full transitional period preparing for elections. Do you think the region has been laid back, just watching, and it's only when there's like a serious clash like the Magenis incident that they come in? Do you think there's been a slack from the region side in pushing for the implementation process?
Of course, the region has its own problems. If you look at IGAD, for example, there are problems in Ethiopia, in the Tigray region. There are problems in Sudan, the implementation of the Sudan peace agreement. There are problems in Somalia, actually between Somalia, the border dispute between Somalia and Kenya. So and Uganda and Rwanda in that side. So things are not okay in the region. So IGAD is not like SADC in Southern Africa or ECOWAS,
mm-hmm,
in West Africa. So IGAD has its own problem. But what can IGAD do? What can IGAD really do if the parties, if South Sudanese themselves are not concerned about their own peace? This is where the problem is.
Okay.
We must be concerned of our own peace. We must lead in implementation of IGAD. We should not wait for the region to come and do things for us. If we want peace, we must show leadership. We must demonstrate leadership. We must implement the agreement. And we must show political will, clear political will, to end the suffering of the people of South Sudan.
You know, I like what you've said. The region also has its own problems. So bringing people who have problems to solve a problem, I don't see how that equation works. And some people have been saying there's actually probably no need for regional intervention, as South Sudan is very able to address these things. So where is South Sudan lacking? What can South Sudan do on its own to stabilize and be able to address these issues as a country? Because we are a sovereign country, an independent country.
Well, I cannot really have an answer for that, because this is a very, very difficult question to answer. It's a very difficult question to answer and must be answered by the politicians themselves.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at SPLM-IO, for example, they went to Bush in 2013 saying that they are fighting for the rights of the people of South Sudan. And now they came back and they want to spoil the agreement.
Mm-hmm.
How do you handle such people? They are themselves fighting themselves. They want to spoil the peace agreement. That is why I told you this is a very difficult question to answer. But again, this land is owned by the people of South Sudan. They should have the right to go for a free and fair election to elect their leaders. People of South Sudan should not be held hostage for this confusion of politicians.
Mm-hmm.
People are moving from one party to other, from government to IO, from IO to government, from government to somewhere. This is just a confusion. Meanwhile, people are suffering on the ground. This thing has to stop. This has to stop so that we end the suffering of people of South Sudan.
Now, just look at this issue. People are suffering. People are dying. Yesterday was International Humanitarian Day, and statistics have it that about 128 humanitarians have lost their lives so far, some directly attacked. And we have soldiers dying in senseless clashes, and there seems to be no response to that, okay? We just hear people are dying, and that's it. There's no accountability. Just this week, two nuns died on Nimule Road. How should the government be able to address this so that these things don't keep reoccurring? Because that is what brings this environment that worries the region.
Well, you see, when we talk about the government, government also is not one party. These are more than two or three, four, five parties.
Yes.
And government cannot do anything alone. If you look, for example, the clashes that is happening in South Sudan right now, if you go to areas of Muharab and Lake States, who are fighting there? Nobody's fighting. There is no rebels who are fighting there. There mm-hmm. is no government who is fighting there. These are the people, citizens, civilians killing themselves. Huh? They are civilians killing themselves. So civilians also have a role. Every citizen in South Sudan have a role to play in maintaining peace in South Sudan. If you come for the biggest mistake that we made when we got our independence in 2011, we did not work to establish institutions in this country. We did not build a strong army with a one military doctrine. So this has caused confusion. Guns are everywhere. There is a need to collect guns from the hand of the civilians. Now this ambush on Numuli Road is not a good sign. Who is killing people there? That is the question. Who is there killing civilians? How do you shoot a nun, a sister? Why? Who on earth can do such a thing? So there is a total confusion in South Sudan. There is a total confusion in South Sudan, and things are not clear whether this agreement is really going to be implemented on time. There is a real concern from the region and from the international community about the peace and stability in South Sudan.
And you know, with what's going on, just recently the president called on that it's the displaced to return home, these being IDPs and refugees. Do you really think it's the right time to make such a call? He actually mentioned that if they don't come, then elections will not be able to happen. Is this a valid reason?
Of course, this is not a valid reason. People can, if I decide not to come to South Sudan, then that is my own choice. You don't force people to come to a country, even if there is peace in South Sudan. Even if there is peace in South Sudan, you cannot force people to come. It is the right of the ITPs or the refugees to decide when they want to come to South Sudan. It is not a bad call, by the way. We have millions of people in northern Uganda. We have people in northern Kenya, in Turkana area, in Kakuma. We have a large group in Ethiopia, in Gombela region. And if you go to Sudan in White Nile region, in Kosi, in Darfur, we are scattered all over the region. This is not good. But again, for these people to return to South Sudan, there must be peace and stability. If people are being ambushed on the road, if people are being killed, if there is no rule of law, the same reason that let these people fled their country, the same reason will not let them come back to their country. So for the refugees to come back, you must implement security arrangements and you must deploy the unified forces to different locations in South Sudan so that people feel secure. And by the way, security arrangements is the backbone of the entire peace process in South Sudan.
Oh, yes, and if it has taken the longest.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. If the security arrangement is not implemented, there will be no peace, there will be no election, there will be no even return of refugees. Because if people are being killed, nobody will come back to South Sudan. So there is a need to push for graduation of forces and deployment of the unified force.
And do you see this happening anytime soon? I mean, we've seen progress in other chapters, but this one has taken the longest. And do you see, with your general assessment, as you assess the political scene, do you see this being completed soon?
It could be completed even today. But the question is, even if you graduate these forces and you deploy them, what are they going to eat? The question is, you are paying a soldier £1,300 or even say £5,000. That will not be enough for even one day for the children. So it will be also a challenge. It will be also a challenge for them. So, and here, that is where I always call upon the international community to try to support the government of South Sudan and the people of South Sudan by funding the peace agreement. Our peace agreement is not like the peace agreement of Khartoum. The peace agreement in Khartoum, they are being funded. Millions of billions of dollars are coming to Sudan. Whereas in South Sudan, nobody is supporting implementation of peace in South Sudan. And this is the biggest threat to the implementation of the peace agreement. You cannot implement any peace anywhere in the world without funding. And this is where the role of the international community will come in.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
I would want to call on people of South Sudan to be patient. And those who are fighting, communities who are fighting in different parts of South Sudan, that they should stop fighting. And that the SPLM-IO should address their problem, their dispute, peacefully, without fighting. And I think if we united, we can build a peaceful and prosperous South Sudan.